You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's almost Christmas, which means it's time for another Basement Theatre Christmas show. The annual festive tradition is in its 10th year, this time written by acclaimed Kiwi comics Alice Sneddon and Rose Matafeo. The show, which runs through until the 21st of December, is called Work Do and is honestly just, you've got to see it, it's amazing. I spoke with Alice this morning about a heap of things, and here's what the show's all about in her own words.
So the show is set in 1997. It's a work do at a travel agency. They're having their like Christmas office Christmas party, and basically it's these four characters and they're all going through a turbulent time and the party just falls apart, basically. I don't know how to describe it. It's just fun.
It kind of is hard to describe. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, it is. It's really horny and there's a lot of sex. Every character is kind of having apart from one, is kind of having some sort of like sexual awakening of sorts. And it all takes place in the space of about 2 hours at this work Christmas party.
And if I'm correct, this is your first full-length theatre show that you've ever written?
Yes. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, I've never written any theatre before. Not even partial-length theatre.
So what was it like sitting down and knowing that you had to write about 90 minutes of just one consistent story?
Yeah, it was fine. Genuinely, it was fine. Rose and I kind of just, we messaged Tom Sainsbury and we were like, literally like, how do you write a play? And he kind of told us his process a little bit of like how many beats in it each, like, you know, before intermission, after, that sort of thing. And we kind of just went for it after that. We just beat out the story together and wrote a draft, did a read through, did a workshop, then rewrote it, did another read through and rewrote it. Yeah, so it was fairly a straightforward process, really.
And you've worked quite a lot with Rose, obviously, through podcasts and comedy.
Yeah.
But again, not on this level. So what's your collaborative process? How does it all work?
Just like rip each other's hair out, and a lot of screaming, a lot of fighting. The collaborative process was a breeze, genuinely. When we were together in the same country, that's when we worked on story for the most part, and then we would kind of take beats, each of ourselves, take parts, and we would write them, and then we would just swap with each other and read each other's work and change it. But we have an oddly good working relationship where I feel completely comfortable saying if I don't think something's funny and vice versa, and you know, we make fun of each other and change each other's work, and I fully trust her and I think she trusts me too.
Was there any pressure going into this, knowing that you're probably both household names in New Zealand from stand-up and TV, and then now you're doing something...
Well, that's very generous of you to say both, but...
Oh, you are.
Yeah, very generous of you. Did I feel the pressure? Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we all just wanted to make something that was fun and funny and that people wouldn't be like, ugh, they shouldn't have written a play. So there was a bit of pressure in that sense, but it certainly wasn't any, like, didn't feel it during the writing process in terms of, like, oh, man, this isn't, you know, it was more like a macro pressure. We were like, fuck, let's not stuff this up, you know?
Mm.
It wasn't like, oh, yeah, I don't think when we were chatting to each other, I didn't feel that. I'm sure maybe Rose did. She tends to be more anxious.
And like we've sort of hinted at, the show is pretty outrageous. There are a few moments I noticed in the audience where people were sort of hands over face while they were trying to laugh, but also just shocked. Is that something that you wanted to do when you decided it had to be about a Christmas party, to make it just sort of wild?
Do you know what? I don't think we even consciously made that decision. I think like a lot of the wild stuff, so to speak, is sex driven. And that genuinely came out of like our first draft of the show, because we really wanted to write a romantic comedy. That was kind of the vibe, I think.
I mean, it's romantic, isn't it?
It is romantic, yeah, absolutely. But then, like, the first draft of it was much more, like, heteronormative and the kind of woman pining for men, and we kind of got that version of it out of the way, and we got some great feedback that was like, let's explore other types of, like, desire and relationships. And then what we realised when we, like, really investigated who the characters were, we were like, some of them, can you swear on radio? I don't know what the rules are.
You already have and you can.
Okay. I don't even know. I was like, some of these characters, they just want to fuck. Like, it's not about a relationship. It's about this, like, primal desire And that's kind of what we investigated. And it wasn't ever like, oh, we're going to do this so we can shock people. It was just like, these are the characters' wants and needs, and that's what we're going to write in. I can't even remember what the question is now.
And it could just be a sort of opening week thing, but there was a moment in the show I saw where literally every other cast member on stage almost looked like they were as shocked as what was going on and were basically turning away to stop from laughing.
Yes, I think they are always messing with each other to try and get the other one to break. So especially in the second act, there's like a big monologue. And that always kind of, every night, one of the actors is trying to get Byron to break because he famously doesn't break.
It worked.
It worked. Yeah, it's so funny. It's such a joy. That monologue in the second act is...
I'll never forget it.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's all Kura who has created that into the masterpiece that it is, but it's my favourite thing I've ever been a small part of, is watching her take what we wrote, but then absolutely just make it into something incredible.
Now, without coming across like an ignorant man, mm-hmm. I wanted to get your thoughts on sort of gender equality in New Zealand arts, because obviously this is a play written by two women. Do you think New Zealand does well in that sense?
No. I mean, like, the ATC program is, like, shocking this year. And there's lots of inequality. I mean, I don't feel like there should ever be a pat on the back because a woman got a job. That's kind of my point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But then a lot of the questions also we've been getting around this play is like, oh, so it's female-centric because it's written by two women or it stars women, or I just feel, women are funny now, isn't that great? Or finally people are seeing women are funny, like all of that shit just plagues the industry as well. Like the idea that the play is female-centric because it's written by or it stars women is like a complete fallacy. It's like, it could be for anyone. For years, women have been ingesting content written by men, and we've described that as broad, you know? It's the same thing here. It's like, just because it stars women or it's written by women doesn't mean it's female-centric. And in terms of, like, the industry and equity, it's, like, going to be centuries before that is remedied. You know, we're undoing thousands of years of the patriarchy. It's not going to happen
with
a Christmas show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet you are.
And comedy is also something else that I know that there's been discussions about this in New Zealand with, you know, shows like 7 Days and stuff. I mean, how you say it's going to be hundreds of years and unfortunately it probably is, but I mean, what's the first sort of step?
I'd say the first sort of step, if you are not a comedian, if you were just an audience member, is whenever you go to a show, if the lineup isn't 50-50, complain to the club owner. I would say that is like the number one thing you can do, basically. And do it not just for women's issues, but, like, if there are no people of colour on the lineup, if there are no queer people on the lineup, you know, like, as an audience member, you've got to demand inclusive representation, because not for the sake of it, because it will genuinely make the art better.
Mm-hmm.
If we're only ever hearing one point of view, then we're just getting lazy. You know, we have to be challenged by as many different points of view as we can. So that when people talk about diversity or whatever, I feel like they're always doing it to kind of like pander or say like diversity because it's good. But it's like the reason it's good is because it's going to make our final product better. It's not just because it looks good or it's like PC or whatever. It's better for the art.
That's exactly what I was sort of wanting to talk about without coming across like I was just part of the problem myself.
We're all part of the problem.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Now, the last sort of thing I want to talk about is the cast, because obviously the cast are phenomenal. Did you write with those people in mind, or bearing in mind that there's rotating guest actors and all that sort of thing, or did that come later in the process?
Truthfully, that came later in the process. I mean, we were Brinley was kind of like the person who we kind of always had in mind for Karen, and that's just because Rose and I are such good friends with Bryn, and I just love writing for her. I think she's hysterical. So when we were writing the Christmas show, I was like, well, I'd love to write a role for Bryn. And then kind of as we went through it and we workshopped it, and for a while, you know, there was kind of like talk that maybe Rose would be in it. And so kind of casting you know, we were just writing the characters. But then once we had those down, we got basically our dream cast.
Yeah, everyone is amazing. It's so perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so great. Byron's incredible. Kuda's incredible. Jodie's great. It's like, yeah, I couldn't hope for anything better.
Oh, thank you so much for speaking with me, Alice. I really appreciate it. And good luck with everything and with London.
Thank you so much.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.